Okay, Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Hey, and we stopped right at the exciting Mishnah on the Chof Dalet on the Beit, so that we'd have enough time to really look into these sugyas beautifully. So before we begin our Mishnah, let me just remind you that we actually have two completely different Bikares for the Tuma of Kalim, and one of them puts together sock and beged and or, and the other talks about Kalim in general, but there's something special about eitz, beged, or sock. And what is that? Well, we're going to learn out that that is that those Kalim are only Mekabel Tuma if they have a Beit Kibul. So they have to have a container space, because they have to be similar to sock. And the whole point of sock is to make a sack to carry things in. And therefore, if they're just flat, a flat board, let's say, will not be Mekabel Tuma. That's called Pshutei Kli Eitz. Pshutei means it's just straight, flat, no complications. Other Kalim are actually Mekabel Tuma no matter what. If you've got a flat knife or a flat serving tray or baking pan without a side, it's all going to be tummy if it touches any tumah. Now, there's another massive difference between types of kalim. There's a third type of kli, which has a completely different din, and that, of course, as you know, is kli cheres. And kli cheres is only mekabel tumah from its inside and not from its outside, which is absolutely not even a hint of in any other kli. And the other shocking thing about a kli cheres is that when it's mekabel tuma, when it gives off tuma, it doesn't only give off tuma from its surface, or it's not only mekabel tuma from its surface, albeit its inner surface. As we said, its outer surface will not even accept tuma and is therefore, I'm not talking about. But when it gives off tuma, and we'll see, even when it's mekabel tuma, it's mekabel tuma through its airspace, and the tuma doesn't have to touch it at all, which is a most unusual situation. It, of course, is betame if it does touch it, but the point is that the airspace is sufficient. Touching is not going to help on the outside surface at all. Because of that, there's another curious din by kli cheres, and that is if you cover up its airspace tightly so that no air can actually get into it, and there's no, doesn't literally mean airtight, but there's no obvious airflow from one to the other. Then, if it's brought into an oil hamais, it only has an outside surface. And since outside surfaces of kli cheres are not mekabel tuma, it will not be mekabel tuma in an oil hamais. Now, those are the special halachas that you have to know before we begin. Besides that, there's one additional curious thing, and that would be what the din is about how it gives off tuma in its airspace. So, I mean, one way of looking at it is that if something falls into its airspace, and this is actually what the Torah describes, one of the Shmoneh Shratzim falls into the air of a kli cheres. Anything that's in that kli cheres becomes tummy. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that the entire airspace gets filled with the sheretz, so to speak? So, in other words, the whole inside of the kli is actually a airspace of tuma, similar to an olames kind of idea. Anything in that airspace is tummy. Or, is what's actually happening, the thing that falls into the airspace of a kli cheres does not make the airspace tummy. It makes the kli tummy. And the kli can then turn around and make something in its airspace tummy. Now, there's a big difference between those two things, because if the entire area is filled up with sheretz, then that means that anything in that airspace came into ki'ilu, direct contact with the sheretz. But wait a second, that would mean that if it came into direct contact, it would be a rishon latuma. What's more, it would mean that since a sheretz is an avatuma, even a fork that would, or let's talk about a cylinder of a kli matechet. You've got a metal cylinder. I'll tell you in a minute why I'm talking about a cylinder. You've got a kli matechet, this metal cylinder, And it's a cigar tube, let's say, you know, like those things they put rockets on in the back and actually put people inside. It's insane. But that kind of thing. And now if one of those is inside the Kli Cheres, if the entire airspace is full of Sherets, so then since that is a metal Kli, it is Mekabel Tumah from touching a Kli Cheres, right? And therefore it will become a Kli Tameh. But if, on the other hand, the Sheretz is not filling the airspace, the Sheretz is basically making the Kli Cheres Tumah, then the Kli Cheres turns around and emanates Tumah into its airspace, then what would happen? Well, then there would be a one-level attenuation, right? It would be the Sheretz would be the Ava Tumah, the Kli Cheres would be the Rishon LeTumah, the Kli Cheres emanates from a Rishon LeTumah to make a Sheni LeTumah, but the thing is, a Kli Matechet, that cylinder, is a Kli, and a Kli is only Mekabel Tumah from an Ava Tumah. And therefore, if that cylinder were inside of the Kli Cheres at the time that the Sheretz falls in, as long as it didn't directly touch the Cheres, that Kli Matechet will not be Mekabel Tumah. What do you say about that? Now, there's another issue that we have to consider, and that is when we say that anything in its airspace is Mekabel Tumah, do we mean literally its airspace, or do we look at this as essentially like a radiation kind of thing? So here would be the difference. How tall is that cylinder? If that cylinder, when it's sitting on the bottom of that Kli Cheres, is tall enough to extend slightly beyond the top of the Kli Cheres, what that would mean that the air in the Kli Cheres is not mixing with the air in the cylinder, right? So suppose you put something inside the cylinder, and that something would be food, let's say, which is Mekabel Tumah from a Rishon LeTumah. So then the point is, if you need to have actual mixing of air as opposed to just radiation, then if it extends beyond the top of the Kli Cheres, there's no mixing of air. And now the question is, that foodstuff that's inside of the cylinder, since the outside of the cylinder is protected against Tumah because it can't be Mekabel Tumah from anything but an Ava Tumah, then that means that whatever was inside of the cylinder is actually protected from the Tumah that would be coming from the Kli Cheres. If you're talking about radiation, so then I don't know whether it saves from radiation. And we're going to show from the Pusik, this is so much fun to see how the Pusik, which is these minor changes in terminology, actually come to address all of these issues and teach us that it is not a question of radiation, it's a question of actual mixing of airspace, and whatever would be inside the cylinder, as long as the top of the cylinder doesn't mix with the air in the inside of the Kli Cheres, is not Mekabel Tumah. So that's the deal. And what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the psukim that teach us all of these dinim. And we're going to start with the Mishnah over here on Chav Dalet Amud Beit and learn the basic idea. Then we're going to talk about the differences between Kli Eitz and Kli Matechet and so on. So let's first talk about the contradiction, or the contrast, I should say, between Kli Cheres and other types of Kelim. So remember, as we've spoken about, we've got three basic different sets of Kelim. We have Kli Cheres, we have the Kli Matechot, and we have the other Kelim, things that are made out of or Psak, Eitz, and we're going to see what things that we haven't spoken about are included in which set as we go through. Tahar b'kli cheres, tameh b'chol hakelim. So whatever would be tahar, if it was exposed to a kli cheres, would actually be mitameh. Any other kelim would be mekabel tumah then in that fashion. Whereas whatever other kelim will not be mekabel tumah from, is exactly what a Kli Cheres, the type we're talking about, the modality, not the substance, the modality of the transfer, we'll explain it in a moment, is exactly what is Tameh in a Kli Cheres. So as the Gemara explains, Tanarabbanan, the Brayos I should say, it's the avir of the Kli Cheres that's Tameh. So it's the inside of the space that is going to be Mekabel Tumah, whether or not it touches the inner surface, that's irrelevant. It's the in the airspace per se, that's metamic. But if something even touches the outside surface, gabo is tahor no matter what you do to the outside. And when it comes to other kalim, if you put something in the airspace and it doesn't touch the inside of a normal kli, If you don't touch, you don't become tummy. It doesn't matter if the tummy item is inside the airspace. But if you touch even the outside, of course you could touch the inside too, but if you touch even the outside, the armakabal tumor, which means that which is the way in which a kli cheres would remain tahar, that is touching its outside, is exactly the way to be metame all other kalim. Whatever would be tahar in the case of other kalim, which would mean, let's say, suspending a sheretz inside of the kli, that is exactly what is tame, but kli cheres would not make the slightest difference to any other type of kli. There's no such thing as air transference, radiation transference. And of course, this does not include the question of whether you're carrying the kli. That's a different issue. That's tame. Those types of tuma are considered to be the equivalent of touching the entire kli, and that is touching. So we're not going into that detail right now. Now, the question is, where does all of this come from in the Torah? Minani mili. Well, the Tana Rabbana. Let's take a look at that beautiful pasuk in Vayikra, v'chol kli cheres, asher yipol mihem el tocho. So here we're talking about the dinim of the Shmona Shratzit. So we've got 8 different species of sheretz that are metame. And in the context of that tuma, which is an avat tuma, it talks about a kli cheres that one of these dead shratzim falls into it. Asher yipol mehem el tocho. If something falls into its inside, then kol asher betocho yitma. Everything that is in that inside is tame. V'oto tishbor, and you'll have to break the kli cheres because you cannot put it in a mikvah. So this is another one of the special dinim. A kli cheres is not makabel tahira by putting it in a mikvah. And because of that, the simplest way to distinguish between kli cheres and other type of kalim, if you want to name the set of other type of kalim, this is a Gavi terminology, is that you would call it a kli shetef. All the other kalim are kli shetef. They are kalim that you can wash off in a mikvah. So it's an easy way to distinguish between a kli cheres on the one hand and anything else, where we don't care if it's made out of wood or it's made out of metal or made out of bone or whatever that we're going to talk about. But here, what you're saying is that it's metame even though it doesn't touch, because it says whatever falls inside. But that is by no means clear, is it? I mean, whatever falls inside might mean whatever falls inside and touches the inner surface. Can I mean that? So, ata omer, afa pishalo naga. I mean, you seem to be trying to foist this on us, that it's got to mean even if it doesn't touch the inside surface. But maybe that's not true. Oh, eno ela im ke naga. Maybe the only time it's metame is if it actually touches the inside surface. So says Rabbi Yonatan ben Avtulmos, there's a very important limud in this pasuk. Note that the word tocho occurs twice. Kvecho klicher sesher yipol mihem el tocho, kol asher bitocho yitma. So now the question is, those two tochos are actually referring to opposite situations, right? The first one is referring to accepting tuma from the outside. Something falls into its toch. Then the result is that the kli will be metame anything that is in its toch. So the first toch is the kabbalas tuma, and the second toch is the giving off of tuma to other things. Is that clear? Are we there? Are we happy? Are we smiling? Oh, good heavens. Can you paste on that little, the eye thing that makes it look like your eyes are open and everything? They're available, by the way, on Shein. Very cheap. Paste on open eyes. Maybe we should start offering them on the Living Tree, since there seems to be such a big demand for them. Or you could all use a little bit of boost. Seems to keep Ori up just fine. Okay, so how do we know that the mikabo tuma is without even touching? Says Rabbi Yonatan ben Avtulmos, these two tochos are actually a gzera shava. And that means that the pasuk is comparing the kabbalas tuma of the kli sheretz to the giving off of tuma of the kli sheretz, right? So, since it's nemar tocho litame, it says bitocho, and that's referring to kol asher bitocho yitma. Whatever is inside is going to become tame. That tocho is the tuma that the kli gives off to anything inside of it. But it also says tocho litame. It says tocho to become tame as well. This it will remind you of the closing of the parsha. Well, not everybody, because the Chutz Lartz, they didn't read this parsha yet. But I'm sure you've prepared the parsha. So remember, the Shmiata Kol Midaber. Midaber, as Rashi says, is the equivalent of mitdaber. So it's reflexive. Litame is the equivalent of lehitame, which is reflexive. It will become tame, right? So if it will become tame, in that case, it means that we're comparing the process of Kabbalah Satuma to the process of giving off Tuma. And just as, now take my word for this, says Rabbi Yonatan ben Avtulmus, meanwhile, take my word for this, just like the Tocho that is talking about giving out Tuma, which is the second Tocho, Kol Asher B'Tocho Yitma, means that it's Tame without coming into contact with the actual container of the Klicheres. So to the first Tocho that was talking about Litame, to become Tame, is talking about even though it didn't come into contact. And why are you so sure that the one, asks the Gemara to Rabbi Yonatan ben Avtulmus, why are you so sure that the giving off Tuma is definitely not a process of touching the inside of the Kli? Ah, how do we know that? Hasami Novan? Omar Rabbi Yonatan, HaTorah He'ida al Kli Cheres. What does it say? Kol Asher B'Tocho, right? Now, Kol Asher B'Tocho. So suppose I love mustard, and I buy myself an entire Kli Cheres filled with mustard seeds. Now, you get a free Kli Cheres if you can guess how many mustard seeds are inside that Kli Cheres. Okay, this is open now. There's no cheating here. How many mustard seeds are in the Kli Cheres? The point is, it doesn't matter how many mustard seeds are in the Kli Cheres because it says Kol Asher B'Tocho. Now, how many mustard seed attenuations do there have to be? Maybe, I don't know, maybe 1,000 mustard seeds to get to the middle mustard seed, right? But I thought Tuma goes down by one level every time it's transferred from one object to another. And Oichlin can only be Mekabel Tuma from a Rishon. So how does mustard seed number 1,000 down, how in the world was it Mekabel Tuma from the outside mustard seeds, which are the only mustard seeds in actual contact with the surface of the Kli Cheres? The solution is the entire Kli Cheres is essentially mitame anywhere it's avir directly, and therefore each one of those mustard seeds is in touch with a non-attenuated tuma directly from the Kli Cheres. Now, that might mean it's radiated, or it might mean it's in the airspace. That we haven't decided yet. But we're going to decide that based on these simple psukim. Sounds all very simple, just a couple of words. Kol Asher Yipol Mitocho. So, Kol Anything Kol Asher B'Tocho. Okay, so the Kol Asher B'Tocho tells us that it's not the inside of the Kli that's Batame, it's the airspace of the Kli that's Batame. Good. Hafil Malei Chardal. So even if it's full of mustard seeds. Now, Omalei Revada Bar Ahava L'Rava, but, I mean, how does this tell you that it is not Mekabel Tuma from its outside? The Mishnah said it's Mekabel Tuma from its inside airspace, which you just proved. But where does it say that it's not Mekabel Tuma from its outside? I mean, isn't it a Kal V'Chomer? V'hi Kli Cheres B'Tamei Migabo Mekal V'Chomer. If normal Kalim, that there's no possible way to be Metame, a normal Kli Shetev, by dangling something in the inside of the Kli. You dangle a sheretz inside a metal Kli, doesn't make any difference to the Kli. So there, Einam Metamima Aviram. But the second that you touch the outside of that Kli, or the inside, but touching the Kli is going to be Metame it, right? So all of those Kli Shetev, which are not Metame Me Aviran, and nonetheless, they are metame by touching them anywhere, inside, outside, upside down. Kli Cheres, shemetame mi aviro. So a Kli Cheres, which is mitame, make sure you pronounce that mitame, not mitame, that's the extra yud there, that are mekabel tuma from their airspace. So for sure, I mean, if they are so sensitive to tuma, they can even be mekabel tuma hanging in the middle of the earth space. And obviously, if the same thing touched the outside, it would be metameit, right? It's much easier to metameit things by touching them. Ah, to make certain that we don't make that mistake, we have got a whole parsha. This one is actually here in Bamidbar, which is talking about Tumas Mace. And what does it say over there? V'chol kli patuach, asher ein tzamid patil alav. Any open kli. Now, the Torah doesn't say what it's made out of. So somehow or other, we're going to figure out that what this is really a reference to is a kli cheres, not to a kli shetev. Any open kli that doesn't have a tight-fitting cover on it is going to be tumet. Now, first of all, let's determine what type of kli we're talking about. Ezeu kli shetumato kodemet lepitcho. I mean, what type of kli really does it make any difference to us whether it's open or not? And we need to have access to its inside. Handy, you're much too meditative this morning, and you should keep your mind on the bears. So now, what type of kli would it matter if it has a cover on it? I mean, the only one that it could be is a kli cheres. Avi Omer is a kli cheres, because other kelim could be exposed to the tumas mace no matter where. It wouldn't make any difference. So what good would putting a tight-fitting cover on it? And it says over here that it's only if ein samit patil alav, only if it's not covered with a tight-fitting cover, then it gets to be tame in an ohel hamet. But if it's covered tightly, it's not mekabel tuma in the ohel hamet, despite the fact that its outside is exposed to the airspace of the ohel hamet, which is metame everything else. And what does that tell you, man? It tells you that a kli cheres is not mekabel tuma by touching it on the outside. Otherwise, what's the point of covering its inside? Aha! Beautiful. So now we know that a kli cheres, isn't this lovely? Mamish, just like that. Okay. So now we know that the kli cheres is mekabel tuma from its inside. And now we know that the kli cheres is not mekabel tuma from its outside. And now we know that the tuma on the inside of the kli cheres fills the entire airspace of the kli cheres. Now, why can't we say that we should learn out of kli cheres that all kelim should at least also be mekabel tuma from their airspace? Because look, it's so easy to be metame those metal kelim. Just a little touch on the outside is metame them, which will not bother a kli cheres in the least. Kli chereses have been known to just laugh off as if you're, you know, like a tickling spell. If you cover their entire outside with tuma, it doesn't matter to them. So there's no tuma whatsoever. And so it's a kal v'chomer. Other kelim that are so sensitive, look, a kli cheres cannot be mekabel tuma from its outside, but it is mekabel tuma from its inside. So other kelim, which are metamin from migaban, eino din she mitamin miaviran, so for sure, you should be able to be metamin them from their avir. Ah, so now let's go back to our original pasuk. V'chol kli cheres asher yipol miem el tocho. Now, what is the tocho, which stresses only its toch? It's not a matter of el toch. It's a matter of tocho. It's personal toch, which adds a specific type of kli. Tocho, this particular inside, is the type that is going to be makabel tuma, namely only of a kli cheres. Tocho shel zeh, but not tocho shel acher, and therefore you cannot be metame other kelim with the kal v'chomer by touching their inside. Wait, hold on a second. You just use those tochos. You use those tochos to be the gzera shava, to compare the being makabel tuma to giving off of tuma. And now you're reusing an old tocho. How can you reuse it? Answers the Gemara, don't you know how to read? There's four drushes here in this pasuk, in those words, tocho. There's two tochos, and each of those tochos didn't need to be tochos. They could have been tochs. And therefore, you've got toch, tocho, toch, tocho, and you've got a dash in all four of them. So let's understand what all of these are. Arba tocho, k'tivit. Each one of them could have been a toch, and it's a tocho. So it's a tocho, toch, tocho, toch. Let me tell you what they're all for. Okay, so chad, legufe. Obviously, one of them has to tell me that the inside of a kli cheres is metame. That's the fundamental din. Now, one of them we need to free up for the Gzeirah Shavah that we made before, that the way that it's mekabel tuma is similar to the way that it gives off tuma, and that it doesn't need to touch. One, we just explained to you, is only tocho shel zeh, meaning a kli cheres, below tocho shel acher. But here is an amazing tocho, and that is tocho velo toch tocho. Now listen to this, is great. So it's only if it's inside the actual kli cheres' airspace. But if it's inside another space, which is inside that space, and the spaces do not mix, so here we're back to our cylinder, and we've got our little seed inside that cylinder. We immerse the cylinder into a kli cheres in which there is a sheretz. Aha. Everything is fine.
It has to be a kli cheres, the cylinder inside.
No.
The
cylinder inside is metal. What's the matter with you? We've been talking about this metal cylinder the whole time. Man, keep this guy out of any type of radioactive material, please. Next thing you know, he's going to be inserting uranium and enriched uranium into exactly the wrong place. Bye-bye, Mo Willie. Watch out. Stay away from that kind of stuff. It's too easy for you to get mixed up. Okay, we're talking about a metal cylinder, which is now being lowered into our radioactive baby. Now, the question is, it's not a lead cylinder, remember. So we've got this metal cylinder that's being lowered into the kli cheres. It's got the seed inside. Okay, we have a very careful Geiger tuma counter on this seed. Is it going to be mekabel tuma or not? As we lower it into the kli cheres' airspace, no signs of any tuma on this seed. But the moment that it's lowered so that the airspaces mix, then there's only one toch, because it's all inside of the toch, mixing with the toch of the kli cheres, and all of a sudden, our tuma Geiger counter flies off the scale. This thing is totally tummy. It's a disaster. And since it doesn't specify what type of toch, it means that even a kli shetef, that means even if this is made out of metal and not kli cheres, and therefore it's not that the outside of this thing is protecting it. So what is it? If it's mekabel tuma from its outside, why didn't the kli of the cylinder mekabel tuma from the sheretz that's inside the kli cheres? There's one brilliant explanation, and that is, the kli is not metame through a filling up its space with sheretz. It first has to be mekabel tuma and then emanate the tuma. But if it first is mekabel tuma, that's one level of attenuation. So now the kli cheres is only a rishon tuma. A rishon tuma cannot be metame a kli. Remember, kli is mekabel tuma only from an avatuma. So since you can actually save the tuma of the seed by putting it inside even a kli shetef, which would be mekabel tuma from its inside, clearly it has not been mekabel tuma, because if it were mekabel tuma from the sheretz that was filling up the airspace, it would have been a rishon, and a rishon would have made a sheni, and therefore maybe the Geiger counter wouldn't have flown off the scale, but it certainly would have showed you that it's a sheni lituma, but it's not.
Can Rebbe just clarify, the sheretz is in the kli cheres?
What?
The sheretz is in the kli cheres?
Yes.
And that we're talking about, because the outside of the metal kli was not the mekabel tuma, that's what we're pointing out, why that wasn't.
Why wouldn't it be mekabel tuma?
Why wouldn't it?
but the inside of it is mekabel?
No, the point is, if we viewed a sheretz as filling up the airspace with tuma, then that kli would have been mekabel tuma from its outside, because it's a kli shetef. And a kli shetef would be mekabel tuma directly from the sheretz that is filling up the airspace of the kli cheres.
So if there was a lid on it with a hole in it, then it
no, lids don't matter. Shush. No, I think what Mo Willie is trying to say is that if you actually protected the airspace of this particular kli shetef and you put it inside the airspace of the kli cheres, you wouldn't have a mixing of airspaces. Is that what you're trying to say? No.
No, I would just say...
Well, at least that would have made sense. You could have bought into it.
If there was an ohel in the Cleef Harris, it would have trapped the tuba. But
who's close to Mo Willie over there? Hey, Brucey. Brucey. Brucey, get me a brick, will you? Now, Bruce is falling asleep, too.
Why isn't the Cleef Harris soaking up the tuba from the outside?
What?
You don't mean the Cleef Harris.
I'm the Klimat Techet. Why isn't it its surface absorbing the tuba?
Which tuba?
The tuba that's in the airspace of the Cleef Harris. Or is that the point? There is no tuba.
That's the point.
But the same Cleef Harris, if the mouth of this Cleef Harris is lower than the inside of the, lower than the P of the Cleef Harris.
Yes, correct. Then
it is tummy.
Then the seed is tummy, not the Klee. The Klee will never be tummy. The Klee cannot be Makabal Tuma from a Rishon. It can only be Makabal Tuma from an Av. And as long as it doesn't touch the Sheretz itself, it's not Makabal Tuma. That's the point. And so why is it not touching the Sheretz itself if it's in the same airspace as the Sheretz? Therefore, QED, the Sheretz is not filling the airspace.
So, but why is this excluded from Tocho? If this Klee is inside the Klee Harris, why shouldn't it become Tummy?
Because it says in the Apostle, Kol Asher B'Tocho Mikol HaOchel Asher Ye'achel. So only those things that are Mekabel Tuma from a Rishon are included in this. And therefore, that's how we know it. Because otherwise, if it's Afilu Klee Shetef Matzil, it means that for some reason, there is no Avatuma here, despite the fact that there's a Sheretz. So obviously, it's not being exposed to the Sheretz. It's being exposed to the Tuma that's coming out of the Klee Harris, which has been Makabel Tuma from the Sheretz, right? See how beautiful it is.
Oh, so it's
not, the it's only not. Way that it works. So it's genius. It's absolutely genius. I just love this drusha. What a way to read a simple passage. Wow. Okay.
Rabbi, אפשר סיכום קצר בקטע הזה?
Yes. Listen, gentlemen. We've proven that a Cleef Harris is only Mekabel Tuma from its inside. We've proven that a Cleef Shetef is Mekabel Tuma even from its outside. And we've proven that anything at all that is edible, that's inside the space of that Cleef Harris, is going to be Mekabel Tuma if the Cleef Harris is tummy. Our question is, what level of Tuma is in that airspace? Is the Tuma an attenuated Tuma that has gone from the Sheretz into the Cleef Harris and now back out of the Cleef Harris, which causes it to lose one darga of Tuma? It's no longer Ava Tuma, it's only a Rishon LeTuma. Or is the way that a Cleef Harris is metamei from its airspace is by filling up the entire airspace with whatever is in it that's tummy. And we're trying to prove that you are not filling up the airspace. Because if you did fill up the airspace, why did the Torah limit the tuma to only edibles? Why wouldn't a Cleef Shetef also be Mekabel Tuma from its outside surface the moment that it's lowered into a airspace that's filled with Tuma Sheretz? After all, if it was in an airspace filled with Tumas Meis, it would have been Mekabel Tuma immediately, right? It would have touched the Tuma in the air. And yet here it's not Mekabel Tuma from the air. Obviously, the answer is that it must be that the airspace is only going to be metame things that are sensitive to a Rishon LeTuma. But any Kli will not be Mekabel Tuma from a Rishon LeTuma. Only Eichlin Umashkin will be Mekabel Tuma. That's why the Torah said, yeah, if there's food inside, then it'll be Mekabel Tuma. But if there's a Kli inside, if it doesn't touch the Sheretz, it will not be Mekabel Tuma. So that teaches us all of the halachas, all built into one simple pasuk.
So the Cleef Harris won't, even if it was resting in the bottom of the Cleef Harris, it wouldn't become tummy, right? Because it's only a Rishon. It would only
become a Rishon. We're only talking about the seed inside. That's
right. So I'm saying, the Cleef Harris, even touching the inside of the Cleef Harris, will not become tummy because it can't.
There's no difference between touching or air in terms of a Cleef Harris.
But as long as it's not the Sheretz.
As long as it doesn't touch the Sheretz. Yeah. Okay, beautiful. Now, the question is, why don't we say that there's no such thing as tuma from the outside? Maybe the only way that kli shetef or mekabel tuma are from the inside, not through the airspace, but at least touching the inside. How do you know that even if you touch the outside, that they will be mekabel tuma? I mean, it should be a kal vachomer. Kli cheres are very sensitive to tuma, and they're mekabel tuma from even hanging something in the air. But nonetheless, if you actually touch the outside, it's not mekabel tuma. So kli shetef, which are not mekabel tuma through their airspace, so for sure, if you touch something to the outside, it shouldn't be mekabel tuma. Only if you touch something to the inside, it should be mekabel tuma. And the answer to that is also obvious, since we just proved that kol kli patuach asher ein tzamid patil alav tamehu. Who? What's that extra who? Tamehu. Should you say tamei? Tamehu means only the type of kli would hereby discussing that cares about whether there is a kli patuach or not. And there, we already proved that that's the kli cheres. So therefore, only who, only the kli cheres, which cares about exposure to airspaces, hayu dechi ein tzamid patil alav tamei. This and only this is the type of kli that will be mekabel tuma only if there is no tzamid patil alav. But if there would be a tzamid patil alav, it would be tahor. But any other kli couldn't care less about a tzamid patil. Hakol hakelim ben sheyesh tzamid patil aleihem ben sheein tzamid patil aleihem, they will be mitamei. And even if it's completely closed, well, how did it get tum tame if it's completely closed? Because its outside surface is mekabel tuma, which proves that the outside surface of kli shetef are mekabel tuma. All of the dinim in one neat, beautiful limud of the two psukim dealing with exposure, one legabe mate and one legabe the shmonish ratzin. Ha! Ha! Even Richie looks happy this morning. Don't say anything, you bum. Ah, oh, how do you like that? Okay. Go for it, Sir Richard. Thank you. A lovely, lovely introduction. Even Brucey woke up. So, we also, as we mentioned in today's introduction, we also have two other sets. Remember, the simplest division between the sets is kli cheres and kli shetef. But within the set of kli shetef, we have different types of materials. And there we have those materials that are in the pasuk of mikol, kli eitz, o beged, o or, o sak. So that is one set. And what combines them is the fact that they're only going to be tame if they carry things in them. So they have to have a bait kibul, technically speaking. There has to be something that holds inside of them. Anything else, which is not included in this particular list, does not need to be similar to sak. And therefore, there's one other issue before we can read the Mishnah. And the one other issue is, remember, that kol hakelim yordim lidei tumatan b'machshava, you will recall that very fundamental rule. Remember that a kli is only a tool if it has been consciously defined as a tool. And if it's not something that a human, and over here the crows don't count, even though they're great tool users, but if it isn't something that a human has defined as an instrument that he's utilizing in his interaction with the outside universe, it is not mekabel tuma. The concept of tuma is nogea humans. And the moment that there's no human involvement, there's no tuma involvement. So you need to have something that is a type of thing that would be utilized by humans. How about if the individual, let's say, who's making this kli, is in the middle of making it? It's usable, but it's not finished. So this is the story of the Frankenstein monster kli, otherwise known as a golem. And as opposed to the Golem of Prague that was walking around before it was finished, we're talking about Golem of Kalim, which are not viewed as completed Kalim to be Makabel Tumah because they're just golems. And the fact that they're walking around and they're doing their job is nothing more than the other golem. It's just all golem. And therefore, it's not Makabel Tumah. So those are called Golmei Kalim. So here is the deal in this Mishnah. Whatever is Tahar in a Kli Eitz would be Tameh in a Kli Matechet, because the Kli Eitz has got to have a Beit Kibul, and a regular metal Kli could be just a flat knife or tray or whatever, and it will be Tameh. But whatever is Tahar in the case of Kli Matechot, and that's because since it's a higher class Kli, there are higher standards of use that people won't use it until it's completed, would still be Tameh in a Kli Eitz, which has lower standards since it's just sort of, those are sort of throwaway kalim that you'll let the kids use and so on, right? So this is the Braita, Tana Rabbanan. How do we explain this? Golmei Kli Eitz Tameim. So if you've got golems and they're not completed, it doesn't matter if it's Kli Eitz because we don't have high standards for that. But pshuteyam torim, if it's a flat eitz kli, it's tar because it has to be similar to the mikol kli eitz o beged or osak. And this is not similar to osak. And therefore, its pshuteyam would be tahar in the case of the kli eitz. Masha inkein, when it comes to kli matachot, if they're not finished, golmei kli matachot are not considered to be humanly designated kalim because people don't use it until it's finished. And on the other hand, the pshuteim of metal things are tameh. Nimtza tahar b'chli eitz, tameh b'chli matachot, tahar b'chli matachot is tameh b'chli eitz. Now, what do I mean when I say golems? So let's talk about a kli eitz that's unfinished. So Elohim golmei kli eitz, kol she'atid lashuf. So you're going to be polishing this up, but you haven't polished it yet, so you didn't put on any type of varnish on it. You're going to be mishabetz, shibutzim, as you know. Those are little decorative metal studs that you put in it to make it pretty and so on. Or you're going to be migarer, you're going to maybe plane it down. Or lecharkev. Lecharkev is like the karkov of the Mizbeach. What's the karkov of the Mizbeach? Was that decorative band on the Mizbeach. So that's what a karkov is. You're going to make like bands on it. Either on top, you're going to cut it in. Lahatiach betunis, you're going to smooth it down with a tuni. That's the tuna fish rub down. And sali chali, but your ore is not sufficiently rough. So in those days, the best kind of sandpaper was a shark skin, right? Or let's say you haven't put the base on it yet. So it's bechuser kan. You're going to put on a base. You're going to put a rim around the top to make it pretty. Or you're going to put a handle on it. It doesn't make any difference because it still works. And if the kids want a glass of water, you'll still hand them a throwaway eight that hasn't been finished like this. And it would still be tameh. But if it's bechusar chatita, if it hasn't been yet hollowed out, so then it's tar. Huh? Of course it's, what do I need to know that? If you mean it hasn't been hollowed out, so it doesn't serve b'chlal dinim of a kli eitz that has to be like sak. So what are you telling me? No. I don't mean it hasn't been hollowed out. I mean it hasn't been hollowed out to what it was the specifications were. You took a block of wood, and you were going to hollow this block of wood out to the point where it's going to hold a whole kav. So, okay, it's going to take you an hour of rubbing the inside out. And you got to the point where it holds one kapiza, which is 3/4 of a kav. So, lo tzricha dechok kapiza bekava. You've managed to get 3/4 of it done. And since it's mechuser, the hollowing out, that is considered to be actually a golem. Because it's...
Maybe that's a kavana, or that's the shear, that's the minimum shear?
No, there's no shear. That's the kavana. You took a block of wood to make a kav in it. Instead, you only made a kapiza. That's the chiddush. So that is considered to be, obviously, there's no chiddush in saying if it wasn't hollowed out at all. So all of those type of golem is, except for the mechuser chatita, is considered to be by eights, it's complete. But for its fundamental purpose of holding the kav, it is not complete. Now, when you're talking about gome kli matachot, over there, it's kol she'atid, anything that you are going to still be lashuv, it's going to be rubbed down, that means to actually file it down. L'shabet, it's the same idea, you're going to put metal studs on it. L'garer, it's going to be planed off. L'charker, l'charker here means to engrave it with some designs or whatever. L'akish pekornis, you're going to make it straight because it's a little bit bent on the side, so it needs to be straightened out. Or if it's missing its stand, it's missing its rim, its pretty rim, it's missing its handle, any of these is tahar. The only one that's tummy is if it would be missing a cover and was meant to have a cover. That doesn't matter because it's not viewed as part of the same kli. It's a separate piece. So what's the difference? I mean, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah the difference between golmim, does it? Maishnahani, maishnahani. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, the difference is that the metal kalim are made for kavod. Those are kalim that in those days would only serve special times, you know. They're much prettier than the simple kalim. And since their whole purpose is to essentially show off when you have guests or you're going to be serving at a wedding or whatever.
Presumably they're more expensive to produce.
Wait.
Okay.
So since they're made for kavod, therefore, we want to allow them to be at their very best. So the whole point is show off, right? Reb Nachman says, as our own esteemed David Solomon suggested, they're more expensive. Now, what's the difference between the two pshutin? The difference would be if, let's say, you're talking about bone. So let's say you made kalim out of bone. We're going to be talking about that in a moment. And clay etzem are very expensive, but they are not particularly beautiful. But the question is, if it's a matter of expense, then you want to get your money's worth. If it's not finished, so then why take something that has the potential of being a nice, expensive clay and use it? So that would mean that this is Reb Nachman going according to his own Shita, who talks about the expense. Because Reb Nachman was the one who says that the dinim of Klei Etzem are exactly the same as the dinim of Klei Matachot, which is only explainable if the reason you want it to be completely finished is because of expense, but you don't use the bone to show off. What are you talking about? Where does it say anything in the Torah about bone kalim being metame? I mean, mechlal de kli etzem mekabli tuma? You're telling me that bone is a type of kli? Oh, yes, indeedy, I do. In the Tanya, take a look at the Braita. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Ma tamud lomar v'chol ma'asei itim izim titchatahu. So what does it mean when it says over there, any beged, any klior, and anything made from izim, and kol kli eitz titchato. This is referring to the klei midyan that were coming back. You have to put them in the mikveh. So what exactly? You said or, kol kli or, anything that's made out of hides. So, I mean, a goat, I'm assuming you mean you made something out of goat hide. But then, why do I need to mention it separately? So what is the mention of izim? That's lahavid avar haba min ha'izim. That's talking about not goat hide. It's talking about min ha'karnayim, min ha'tlafayim, from any type of bony materials. You can make something from the horns or the hooves or the bones of that izim. And it's not only izim, because shar be'mavich ha'yaminayim. How do we know it's nothing to do with izim particularly? Because it says v'chol ma'ase izim. So what is v'chol ma'ase izim? To include any type of animal. Se'im kein ma'tamud lomar izim. So why mention a particular type of mammal? That's because it's coming to be memayit, the birds. You can't make things out of bird bones or out of bird talons that would be considered to be a kli in the Torah. And of course, as you know, bird bones are extremely, extremely light in order to allow them to fly, and they have a different construction than mammal bones. And this brings us again up to Mr. Wright, and he's available today in his full right-wing configuration. Go for it, Mr. Wright.
Forget about it, Rabbi. The right is...
Yeah, it's all over.
It's not flying.
It's,
you know,
all over.
Their bones may be light, but it's a bad day for, what do you call it, my son-in-law came home, if he came home at all that night, broken.
No.
He put hundreds of hours into the doing of the Gius law, hoping against hope that it would go through, and guess what?
Yeah, I know.
Broken.
Yeah, I can't blame him.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, look, you know, what else is new?
Onward! Okay, so we're going to be talking now about the Inyanim of Trumas and Maisois, and we know that, again, here we're looking at a chiev of something that is considered to be a ma'achal adam. Now, there are two different types of almonds. There are bitter almonds and sweet almonds, and this is, of course, true today, just as it was at the time of the Mishnah. And therefore, if you want to contrast the different stages of the different types, which is a continuation of the way our entire perek is contrasting the different dinim of one, which is the opposite of the other, then whatever type of almond would be chayev and trumas and maisos on the bitter almond is exactly the type of almond that would be poter if it's a sweet almond. And whatever stage of development would be chayev and maisos if it was a sweet almond is poter if it's a bitter almond. Tana rabbana. Shkedim amarim, if you're talking about the type, this is a species. Remember, it's not that there's a difference in the growth of all almonds. There's some almonds that are called marim and some that are called mitukim. So when it comes to the shkedim amarim, if they are mature, they're inedible. They're just too bitter. So the shkedim amarim, while they're still tiny, they are still edible, and therefore they would be chayev and maisers. But the large ones are not really edible, and therefore they're poter. But in the sweet almonds, it's the opposite. The gedolim are chayev because only they are considered to have gotten to the onat ha-masrot because they're mature. But when they're small, like all things that are immature and are not yet at the stage that people would normally harvest them and eat them, they're poter. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi omer mishum aviv. Rabbi Shmuel says, as his father, Rabbi Yossi, he used to say, both types are potter. So this is the way Rashi understands this. Both types of smaller ones are potter. Because Rabbi Shmuel holds, if it's not developed, it doesn't matter that it's edible. The point is, nothing that's undeveloped is considered to have gotten to a stage in which you have to take off maisers. And therefore, they're both potter. But others say that what Rabbi Shmuel had said in the name of his father is ze v'ze l'chiyuv, that both types of large ones, and here it means both types, not both types bitter and sweet, but both sizes, then if they are large here, so any type is going to be chayev, whether it's bitter or sweet, and what that would mean is we're going to have to find an explanation, which the Gemara will look for, how you could possibly be mechayev, a fruit that isn't really edible. Omer Rabbi Eloh, I could tell you that Rabbi Hanina gave a psak halacha in Tzipori, according to the lotion of ze v'ze liftor, that any type, even the small, sweet almonds, are all and the small bitter almond, they are all going to be potter because they are too small to be considered to be magielonata maisras. But let me ask you something. How do you explain the mandiyama zevazelachiyav? What use do you have for inedible almonds? I don't understand. Who cares if they're mature? and they were magil or not ha-maisras, if they're not edible. So gedolim l'may chazer. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, they're edible. But you need to actually sweeten them through roasting. So ho'il v'yachol l'matkan al yedei ha'ur, it's therefore not considered to be something that is inedible if you just need to process it to complete its din of Chiyav Maisra. So that would be the reason that he holds its Chiyav even before you've actually done that final step. Okay, gentlemen, so we've gone through a lot of additional issues that are contrasted, whether it's Karnim, Levim, or Egla Rufas and Paradumas, or whether it's Chometz and Sior, or whether it's B'nai Yoina and Torim, and so on and so forth. And this basically closes that specific way of comparing things. We're going to compare things now a little bit differently from this point forward. We're going to compare different stages of the same thing, which is not what we've done until now, but it's along the same lines. So we'll wait for our Sir Richard's introduction on happier days, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, amidst the Bisura Tovot. And remember, it's a Bisura Tova to finally figure out that Hakol Bidei Shamayim and Ein Od Milvado. And sometimes when you give up, that's the only time that things will end up working out. All right, then.